Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah, well, the kind of those numbers kind of lead into our next segment.
Carlton.
Yeah. You ever seen the end of that?
I know I ever watch it. I always look down when that runs.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it's one of my favorite moments of TV all time. One of the ugliest, funniest moments ever where Carlton thinks it's going to go in. It's just. Oh, man. All right, Chris, what is the good, the bad, the ugly this week?
All right. So, my good is William Contreras, the catcher for Milwaukee, off to an outstanding start this year. He just ended his 12-game hitting streak on Wednesday, and he finished last year on an 18-game winning streak. The crazy stat I heard on the radio the other day is he had a streak of 55 consecutive games where he either got on base or drove in a run. And so far this year, he's batting .358 with four home runs, so it's a 184 WRC+. He's catching most days. He's 10th in F4 since the start of the 2023 season, 6.6 WAR in 158 games. It's a full win better than Adley Rutschman, who's the number two catcher, and two wins better than the third catcher, Sean Murphy. And the wildest part about it to me is if people remember how the Brewers got him, they got him for nothing. They got involved in the deal, the Atlanta-Oakland deal, if people remember, and Milwaukee gave up Esteri Ruiz. That's it. And they got William Contreras and Joel Payamps, who was a really good reliever for him last year. And so that's like one of the biggest robberies in the last few years that I can remember. It's I don't know how they pulled that one off, but kudos to them on that one. In my bad, this is it's Spencer Torkelson. And I understand that I've been labeled as a bit of a Spencer Torkelson hater.
And by one person.
I accept that.
Repeatedly.
And he did. We have to acknowledge that he had an excellent second half last year. He was getting close to the sort of player they needed him to be. It was like a 120-something WRC+ over the second half last year. And he does seem to be seeing the ball a little bit better lately. You know, he had a hard double today, a couple of walks. Then he struck out in like the biggest bet of the game. His WRC+ right now is 89, which is it's far from the worst on the team. But he just has to be much, much better than this if the Tigers want to go anywhere this year or next year or in the future, right? Like. And it's on both sides of the balls. I don't know how much longer we can stick with him at first base. And by we, I mean the Tigers, of course. It's, you know, he's not the worst defender in the world, but he just doesn't, I talked about earlier, he doesn't seem to have the instincts or I don't know if what it is. He's good at picking the ball, but just everything else doesn't seem to work there. And again, I think if the Tigers are serious about contending, they may want to just look at moving Torque to DH right now and putting Canna at first base. And I don't know if Canna is that much better than Torque, but since Torque joined baseball, he's got negative 16 defensive run saves at first base. It's the worst in baseball as a first baseman. So I don't know if you can get much worse there. And obviously you don't want to give up on your first round 1-1 pick too soon, but either way, if he's playing first base or if he's a DH, he has to start hitting more home runs. He didn't hit any in the spring. This is 19 games to start the season without a home run. He had the longest he went last year was 14 games, which is, you know, still kind of long. He's always been a little bit streaky, but 19 games, 20 games, he had a couple of those in 2022, and he feels like 2022 Torque to me right now, which was not great, right? He got sent back to Toledo. He just has to be better than this. And then, I know, kind of to rub some salt in the wounds, I was looking back, and here's a comparison. So far through his career, Torkelson is a .221, .304, .392 hitter. With 390 or 39 home runs in 288 games with the Tigers. So that's a 696 OPS and a 94 OPS plus. And so I was thinking back about another highly touted top five pick for the Tigers by the name of Eric Munson, who hit 215, 287, 414 with 40 home runs in 246 games. It was a more offensive era, so it was only an 87 OPS plus. But that we can even make the comparison is kind of damning to me. And he just has to be better. Like I said, if the Tigers are going to go anywhere in the future, they got to do something there. Otherwise, you might have to seriously look at it. The first baseman there who's with Arizona is Christian, what's his name?
Walker.
Is it Christian Walker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, a great defender at first base for what that's worth, and I think he's a free agent. So I don't know. Maybe it's too early to do that, but yeah, it's been rough. And my ugly, and this is Raj can attest to this a little bit, is the quality of pitching in low A this year and forever. And specifically, I'm going to talk about Pedro Garcia, who is a Tigers prospect, Tigers minor leaguer. Most of you probably aren't familiar with him. He's a 22-year-old Dominican starting pitcher in Lakeland, signed with the Oregon 2021 as a 19-year-old, so which is, relatively ancient by international free agent signings standards. He made it up to Lakeland for two innings last year, and he's been in the rotation this year, and he's had two starts. And here is how the two starts have gone. The first one started off walk, 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 strikeout, walk, hit by pitch, walk, hold. Wow. And the second start was today, and it began hit by pitch, walk, hit by pitch, strikeout, wild pitch, walk, walk, single, pulled. So through two starts, he has pitched two-thirds of an inning, given up one hit, eight walks, three hit batters, nine earned runs, two strikeouts, and an ERA of 121.5. And that's awesome. I don't mean to pick on him, because you see that from just about every team. There's at least one or two guys like that just come out and can't throw a single strike. And they've actually expanded the strike zone in low A this year. It's 21 inches wide, I think, which is 4 inches wider than,
oh my gosh,
and guys are still missing like a ton of, so it's ugly down there. It's fun to go and look and watch Josue Briseño and Max Clark and stuff, but if you see guys walking a ton, it maybe doesn't tell you a whole lot about the quality of the hitter's eye.
Yeah, that's why you don't— Here's a rule, de facto rule. If you're going to look at scout the prospect lines or whatever, scout the box line or box score, whatever you want to— terminology that I cannot come up with all of a sudden because I'm freezing up on it. Essentially, you don't look at a prospect until they get the double A. If they're hitting well, double A, that to me, double A is the standard. If they can get the double A, and look at, for example, Kerry Carpenter. Until he got the double A and fixed the swing, Trey Carpenter was just another guy who was just going through the org. Then he got his swing mechanics, started hitting, started really, really excelling. It was the same thing with Parker Meadows and Winciel Perez. When they figured it out in high A, it was like, okay, that's cool and all, but can you do that in Erie? And they did. And then as a result, they're now on the major league roster. So until they get the double A, I really think you can't. Some of the comments in here are fantastic. It's one of those things where I look at that as that's an outlier. Okay. So that's why I look at it. But, there's a couple games against Binghamton, remember, against the Marauders, where the Tigers would hit a ball to let like a simple fly ball, Chris, remember that? And they were just, mm-hmm. they kept losing in the sun so easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's ugly baseball. I mean, it's supposed to be, right? Like, these are guys learning how to play professional baseball for the most part. But it's ugly all the way. We looked at— you watched Jaden Hamm start in high A, and the not to hit Youper where it hurts, but the umps are pretty bad. I watched Jackson Jobes start in double A, and the ump was pretty bad. Now, the thing about low A is it's the automated ball strike system Tuesday through Thursday, and then they have the challenge system on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So theoretically, you should be able to throw a little bit more strikes because you're not really at the whim of maybe an ump who's learning the trade. But this is the result of contracting the minor leagues, getting rid of short season ball. Sure. You've got these guys who have more potential but less ability being kept in the system, and your 30th round college draft pick who knows how to throw strikes but maybe doesn't have the stuff for the future left without a job. And so you have these ugly, uncompetitive games. I mean, you saw Lakeland got down 9-0 today, I think, because it started out, you know, it was 5 or 6-0 in the first inning because the starter couldn't throw a strike.
Yeah, it's, oh man, it is one of those things where I feel bad for some of the broadcasters down there, because if you're doing a game by yourself and you're seeing that, you have to, you know, do you wash your eyes out after a game? Anyway, all right. That's a good ugly there. Youper, what is your good to bad the ugly this week?
Okay, my good, Casey Mize. You know, as the season, you know, as the offseason wore on, to me, I felt that one of the big keys to success this year was a resurgent Casey Mize. Maybe seeing the guy that we hoped to see when they were, when they drafted him 1-1. No, I'm not saying we've seen that guy yet. We haven't, but he's looking good to me. You know, one thing I mentioned, and if someone wasn't listening, I'll just be brief. I was wondering if we would see a Casey Mize at a level no one's really seen in a long time, because he, the year before his last season at Auburn, he was shut down with tight forearm. And then he milked it through the next year and got through and got drafted and got paid, which is great for him. But I always felt that Tommy John was lurking, and which it is with most pitchers anyway. And sure enough, we got it. Now, on the spectrum of Tommy John's recoveries, he might be as good as he's ever going to be right now, because he should have confidence in that tendon. He should not be holding anything back, trying to milk it through a start like he may have in the past. I like what his fastball looks like right now to me, and I've railed about this for years about Casey Mize, but right now that fastball looks a little tighter to me, and not something that's just kind of, even at 97, is screaming, hit me. And you got to pitch off that fastball, in my opinion. And he's coming inside a little bit here and there, which I've always also liked. So we'll see if it continues. We're a long way from, you know, making a final determination, but I think the first three starts have been pretty positive.
I thought he threw some pretty nasty splitters too. Some yes. Of the better splitters I've seen him throw this year. So that, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
My bad. The Tigers came into today, and they didn't have any today, so they should still be – they have 8 stolen bases, and we are – which is – what came in today tied for 24th, and it's a light schedule in baseball, so they're going to be somewhere around 24th, 25th after today. You know, all the rules changes, you know, the less throws to first, bigger bases, everything was designed to get the running game going in baseball. And Detroit seemed to kind of dabble in it last year at times. But this year, between not having anybody on base to steal, which is kind of a prerequisite, and then not having really any base-stealing threats for the most part, they are definitely playing a different game than a lot of offenses in baseball are. Like, for instance, you know, the Tigers have 8 steals, the Reds have 35. You know, I went through a long stretch in my life where I thought maybe the steal was a bit overrated. And, you know, if you don't get to a certain percentage, it is overrated. But at the same time, I have enjoyed the baseball the last couple of years, bringing the steal back into the game and having it be something we're thinking about. So I don't know. It's something that's probably not going to change anytime soon. The Tigers aren't going to add a bunch of speedsters out of nowhere. It's just something that's going to have to change over time. We'll see.
It's weird that you bring that up, because earlier this week, White Herzog, White Ball, which was all about steals, like the guys of like Vince Coleman and Willie McGee, and it was just that team that ran, passed away. This week. That's another one. A good example there. But that's just funny you bring it up, because that Whitey Ball, that's what I think of when I think of like that kind of him and Billy Martin in the American League.
It's just they could get to a point where it's a weapon that they have in the quiver, right? Or an arrow in the quiver would be nice. Not even, they don't have to be, you know, all steals all the time.
I was just looking. They are the 5th fastest as a team in terms of sprint speed.
Really?
They're 27.2 as a team, feet per second. Parker Meadows the fastest, but it's just weird. You know, he hasn't gotten many hits, and you know, I think he's walked a few times, but it does feel like he's like, I'm not here that often. I want to stay here.
I can't steal first, right?
Yeah, and Matt Vierling is fast, but has never been a great base stealer. I think, you know, if Wenzel Perez plays a little bit more, he'll probably start stealing bags. But, yeah, it's I don't know. It's a strange bunch. They all run fairly well, but none of them are great base stealers.
Colt Keith, too. Good runner.
Yeah. I mean, Baez is probably their best base runner. But, again, he's not been on base a ton. Except, you know, he's looking better in the last couple of days. And hopefully it's something he can sustain and not just like a short hot streak.
So maybe the lesson here is if they start to hit and the on-base percentage of the team goes up, then we'll see where they are in steals at, you know, later this year. Mm-hmm. We'll hope for the best. My ugly, not so much about the person that this is coming from, but about the whole system in general. A friend of the show, J.J. Cooper, had an article out about blackouts in baseball earlier this week. And he made a really good point that doesn't get mentioned enough. Is that basically, as things stand, cable television is mostly going away, right? I mean, we're going to a streaming society. And the blackout system in baseball was designed for the cable TV era more than anything. So you would think that change is afoot, that things will happen to help solve some of the blackout issue as our society moves in one direction away from the old cable direction. However, the reason I put it under the ugly is, as someone who has been a Tiger fan in Iowa and has had to scramble in many different ways to see them play the Royals, the Twins, and the White Sox, not to mention when they happen to play a few interleague games against St. Louis, Milwaukee, and the Cubs, we've heard it before. I mean, it's been a lot of, you know, JJ had a few people from the industry talking in his article. That's great. But I remember when Bob Bowman, who ran MLB Media or whatever that was called, Emblem, he said, oh, we're going to take care of it. This is going to get fixed in the next 18 months, blah, blah, blah. It never gets fixed. Bud Selig talked about getting it fixed. Manfred has talked about getting it fixed. They don't do anything. And I just don't even know where they're going to start because they need some team to give up some revenue, which every team is just loath to do. And so I appreciate JJ for giving everybody a little hope. I love his work. He's the best. I'm just not buying this one.
I don't blame you. I mean, there's been such a, it's a good call out there. It's one of those things too, where I will not understand how baseball just goes. How do they continue to ignore that? He mentioned something to you in North Carolina, right? Like he's blocked out of three different markets in North Carolina.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Baltimore, the Nationals, and I think the Braves.
That's what the Braves, but there's Georgia is nowhere near North Carolina, correct? I mean, it's like
a couple states away anyway.
It's a couple states away. So it's not like it's like a bordering state. That makes no sense. I think you're basically telling the fans, you're just basically doing this the entire time. You're just flicking them off. You're flicking them off. You don't care. But then again, I like guys can stream the minor leagues anytime, anywhere. And you're okay with empty crowds in the background. Okay. This is ridiculous. So it's one of those things where I'm just, there's even like, for example, we talked about this last week. NBC is not streaming those games anymore on Sunday morning. That was a disaster. There's so many opportunities for them to do things and they just go, we just don't.
Anyway. I never got the point of that. Just that standalone Sunday morning thing where you got to go to an app. I mean, I had Peacock for something else. So I watched all those games, but I was wondering what the overall appeal is from coast to coast on that thing.
Well, I am a jackass. I will freely admit that I'm a jackass. I did not realize that Georgia borders North Carolina. Wow. I'm a jackass. I did not realize, because I thought North Carolina was more, I thought it was above Virginia, and I'm looking at a map right now. It's thank you, old Virginia, DK. Yeah. Unlike people on the, by the way, I will call myself out each and every time. If I say something stupid, I apologize. I'll call myself out. That was stupid of me. I did not realize.
I didn't think you were wrong. So
it's the southwestern portion of North Carolina. Like it's south of Asheville. Like, I think where Cooper is, I think he's in like the Durham, Charlotte area, maybe. I don't know, farther on the other side. It is far away. It's like us being blacked out of Cubs games, basically.
Yeah, no, that's a good. Yeah, because it's you're right. It's on the top of there. So, but yeah, I did not realize it was that close. But so my good this week is one Colton Cowser, who has been off to a really good start. The reason why I wanted to point this out is he is batting. I mean, again, I know he turns to plate appearances, but what's impressive about his numbers, so he's batting 400, 429, and slugging is like Baltimore again, just clunking out the prospects, you know, just clearing them out, prospect central here. But what's impressive is his K rate. He's doing this at a 30% strikeout rate. That's impressive. That's really impressive because, I mean, again, in a part-time, in a platoon situation, if you look at the top five batting, I mean, you look at the top five among batting in all of baseball, everybody's around 20%. I mean, you have Juan Soto's at 12, Jose Altuve 14, Mookie Betts, but Colton Cowser up there and among the top 10 at 30%. Again, limited play appearances aside, he's already got a 1.2 WAR, F WAR. That's pretty awesome. And Baltimore, just again, it's not just infielders. It's this guy who's, I believe he's playing the majority. He's playing in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not bad for a guy who they picked in the fifth round out of Sam Houston University.
I thought he was their first rounder. He was. Yeah, I mean, he was a guy. You know, they just have an embarrassment of riches. We've talked about the infielders a ton. Colton Cowser, the 30% strikeout rate makes me think that perhaps he's a due for some regression, along with the 519 batting average on balls in play. But the numbers he's put up, you can't argue with him, really. I mean, the production's the production, and he is. And I guess if he cools off, they'll just go ahead and bring up, you know, Ryan Stowers or whatever his name is, with Kyle Stowers. I don't remember his name, but the other guy who hit 70 home runs off the Tigers in spring training. Maybe we should have seen these issues with Maeda coming when he hit every ball over the fence against him.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Well, didn't he have two home runs against him?
I think he hit three that game, and I think two were against Maeda. I think.
There's already a lot of trade speculation being circled around the Orioles, right? How big a run they want to make? Do they go get pitching? They certainly do. Everybody says it. I mean, they have the surplus bats. They should be able to tailor make a trade that would really bolster their rotation.
Yeah, they should. I mean,
we thought so last year too, right?
Yeah. Their GM has been called out for being way too conservative and not trading, and rightfully so. I mean, I think they have. I mean, I think with the new owner too, who's been out, he's been out hanging out with both fans, that might be a little different mandate coming down, because I'm sure he wants to win and win now. But this guy's been, I forgot the gentleman's name, the new owner, who's been out drinking with the fans and trying to get out there partying it up. So, by the way, I will be reading everybody's good and bad and ugly. So thank you for everybody who's reading the Orioles literally have too many dudes, and that's absolutely correct. Some people left some good and bad and the uglies, and so I'll get back to that there in a second. And I also want to get to, pardon me?
Matt Manning would look good in an orange uniform, that orange jersey. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Matt Manning for Colby Mayo or something.
One can dream, right? So my bat is Aroldis Chapman, who received a 2-game suspension and being fined for a inappropriate action at the bottom of the eighth. So I have the inappropriate action here. I don't know if anybody saw this or not.
Did it involve his mom?
No. You know what? You know what's funny is that, like, I was talking to my cousins about that, and you know, I'm Cuban. You know, I'm half Cuban, and so it was one of those things where I was just sitting there going, man, come on. Come on, man. You can't explain that. I can't defend that. I can't defend that with a bit. But here's the.
That's one strange individual.
He is one strange cat. I mean, this is a guy who has his truck Super Bowl bulletproof on there. Hopefully the copyright gods do not get us.
No, maybe it's more less a Cuban thing and more a thing of people who throw 105 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't know.
So does it happen now? Does he start throwing stuff on the field? I didn't see this.
There it is.
Oh.
So he pretty scored. Much. Okay. Yeah, pretty much that's what it was. It wasn't much of anything. I don't know why. The reason why I thought it was bad is because I thought that I don't see what the big deal was about that. I really thought that was kind of a much do about nothing situation.
Most likely he personalized it. Instead of saying that call sucks, he said you suck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. All it takes. If it goes from in general to personal, yeah, I'm just going to run you.
I figured you're going to have some insight on this. And my ugly this week involves a gentleman by the name of Gary Cooper, not the former actor Gary Cooper. And also putting on the subject of the song Putting on the Ritz, done by Taco in 1980-81. That's a random reference for you. Also did blackface in the video. Should be canceled. So, he didn't do anything. In other words, Sam, he didn't do anything to merit that. So it was just a bad situation. But Gary Cooper was a outfielder who played for the Atlanta Braves in the mid-70s. He spent 42 days on the team, and on the 43rd day, which is the threshold for earning a mandatory MLB pension, he was out to play a game before it was canceled due to rain. However, before his next appearance, he got sent down to the minors and never returned. So for 44 years, he's just stood one day from getting a mandatory league pension. This was a story in CNN, and it just stood out to me that he's made two appeals to a committee comprising of representatives of MLB and the Players Association. They both rejected under the 43-day rule. However, the rainout had no impact on the number of days serviced, as system doesn't need a game to be played for that day to count. Now, so there's an online petition to help him. He's 67 now. He's given the Braves signed him for one day contract. On the Braves coaching staff, so he receives his 40-day minimum to qualify for the pension. The pension's got nearly the petition has nearly 5,000 signatures, but still has no car, no home, no savings, no pension, and struggles to pay for his phone every. It's part of what they say at change.org. So he works part time as a landscaper, but work's been lately scarce. So, but yeah, the guy who's helping him organize this, who put the petition together, was the gentleman who runs the landscaping business. So it was a very nice thing to do. And so I'll put the link in the story in the YouTube, but the Braves signed Satchel Paige in 1968 to the coaching staff to help him get his pension. So they're hoping, I mean, he's gotten support from people around like the mayor of Savannah and all that. So hopefully that happens. It should be. It just do the right thing, baseball.
Yeah, you hope. That's a real bummer. That's like a moonlight grab surface time situation. It does. It calls to mind Andrew Toles, the Dodgers thing where they poor guy just is mentally ill, and the Dodgers I think still keep signing him to some sort of deal so he can get health care because he needs it. Which is nice to see, and it's a drop in the bucket for a billion, you know, multi-billion dollar organization, and you would hope that something can come through to help this guy.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the whole thing's sad, but I don't want to end the show on a bad note, but yeah, that was just one of those things where it was, I don't want to say necessarily ugly, but I hope that the Braves do the right thing and take care of that, so. But I mean, we can end the show making fun of the White Sox. I mean, I think that can be a new thing now going there's forward.
Nothing wrong with that. Yes,
there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So, what are the White? I mean, it's going to be
Chicago sucks.
This is going to be a regular bit now because we do. So back in the day, Chris, I think it's fair to say we made fun of the Jeffrey Loria when he owned the Marlins. Correct? I mean, that was a regular thing we used to do.
Marlins and Orioles were targets of ours quite frequently 5-6 years ago. Yes.
Yes. So the White Sox have become our new target. And I feel sorry. Like, I was originally going to write this year. They won yesterday. 2-1 I mean, they won 2-1 That's good, right? But
sure,
you have the Phillies, and then you have I might actually go see them next week in Minnesota, because the White Sox are going to be playing the Twins there. So I might go to that. We can make fun of the Twins. You know what? The White Sox are so easy. We can fit them both. Why not? Go ahead.
You know, we've been talking all year about this. The Tigers' offense is hard to watch because they're not scoring runs. They've scored almost twice as many runs as the White Sox. The White Sox have 38 runs in what, 18 games? Is that how many games they played? 38 runs in 18 games. That is just barely over 2 runs a game. And the run differential is 54. And the Twins, the Twins are bad too, at least so far in terms of run differential and things like that. They're negative 20. They've only scored 58 runs. That's 13 fewer than the Tigers. So, yeah, maybe the Tigers can go in there and steal this series from the Twins. The Twins split it with the Tigers back last weekend.
Tigers can pull this series off. No question about it.
Yeah. No, and I think they could easily, if Olson pitches like he did the other day on Saturday, I think they could take 2 out of 3 of the series. But the reason why I also bring up the White Sox is because, and a no surprise moment is that the article cracked me up because it said, this was from Yar Barker. Longtime White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson was back in Chicago on Thursday as a member of the Miami Marlins, was totally not diplomatic about his time with his former team. Well, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, of course, he's not going to sit there and speak lonely about Chicago. And he suggested that the White Sox refuse an offer to contract extension he asked for and implied that the White Sox lean on him too much to provide all their offense. Bull.
Okay.
Bull. Come on. Yeah, I don't know about that. And he said, yes, this is because they were in town against to play the Cubs. And he said, he asked for extensions year after year, so since his time with the White Sox would end, he's okay with being free of the pressure, as TA goes, so do the White Sox, because it takes a whole team.
Well, I would say this. He was a very good player for the White Sox, and he torched the Tigers enough where Tiger fans feared him all the time, but I never went to bed after watching a White Sox game thinking, that's Tim Anderson's team. You know, it was just part of the White Sox. He was a very good player, but I didn't view him as the total juggernaut.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. I never thought that it was Tim Anderson's team at all. I never thought that.
I mean, he was a great hitter for a couple of years there, but it was always, there were always flaws in his game. He wasn't the world's best defender by any means, and he didn't hit for a ton of power, and he rarely walked. He just was a really smart, good hitter, particularly against the Tigers. Of course, the Tigers were putting out some pretty bad pitching against them. But yeah, I mean, that was Jose Abreu's team. Tim Anderson was certainly one of the, Tiger killers, if we go back to earlier in the show with the cliches. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, does it surprise me that he wasn't happy with the White Sox? No. Yeah, I remember, what was it, the year that I think he made the All-Star team? Do you remember that? And they showed the video. Yeah, it's true. He does have a glass jaw. Was it the 2021, 2020? I don't remember that. It must have been 21 when La Russa was there. And they, I think Tim Anderson made the All-Star game, and they were showing the inside the locker room announcement. And it was like a morgue in there. It was the weirdest celebration I've ever seen for a guy making the All-Star team. And it's a moribund organization.
All right. So let's catch up in the chat here. So there's a good one here from Old BK. Royals lead MLB with a 40-run differential. Holy shnikes. Wow, that's one that stands out here. Best of the chat here. Let's go back to the good and bad and the ugly here. So we had here. So props to Samuel, by the way, who's wearing a Windsor Spitfires hat. I love that old logo. I'll have to show the jersey here in a second because the Lions also have their new jersey that just rolled out today. So that black jersey is pretty sweet. So from Noah, my ugly is the E-Rod trade fumble. Michael Bush would have been probably in a package that off to a crazy start. Yeah, he's got like 4 or 5 home runs already.
Yeah, he hit five home runs in five straight games.
Yeah,
which is kind of wild.
So, I do like this comment here from Jay Bell. We have slow single hitters. By the way, if you own an old jersey, by the way, it's just so weird to see how fan-sided Fanatics has stumbled that whole thing, and it's still getting worse. Like somebody, they made a big deal about Riley Green and his ripped pants, but that was expected to happen. Now I'm trying to find the rest of these good and bad and uglies here. I don't know why I'm all started out. Okay, here we go. All right. Another one comment here from Joe. 2014 Sox versus 2019 Tigers. That's a good question. If that's a question, I'm going to go 2019 Tigers all day. The 2019 Tigers, but not much. I think maybe it's like a it's a game that goes 0-0 into the 12th inning. And then just somebody wins by like some sort of freak accident.
A Vic Reyes heroic moment.
I feel like didn't you mention not that long ago that they started, the 2019 Tigers started like relatively well, and then it was just all downhill from there?
Yeah.
I thought they were like 7-9 or something like that.
Sure. Not horrible. They got a couple of years with Gardenhire. They got off to a decent start. It was just it was all facade.
Checking right now. So through 18 games.
The Tigers, by the way, this is the earliest they've won 10 games in their last few seasons or so. The good, by the way, from Joe, Tigers showed some form of life offensively. Bad. Nobody on this team seems to have a clutch gene in their body. Ugly. Torque can't read a pitch to save his life. Maybe he knows he's Dr. Yaldo. Maybe he needs vision correction.
So the Tigers were 9-9 through 18 games in 2019.
Wow.
They were they were actually 12-10 through 22 games. And then yes.
Really?
35 and 104 the rest of the way.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, that's
how many games I watched that year. And why did I do it? Why did we do it?
I don't know. We did a whole podcast about it for an entire season, for Christ's sake. We cover that team. We have podcasts going back to that part. There's
Is John Hicks part of the future?
Yeah. We actually talked about that. By the way, I love the Deadly Ninja Bees. I always use the Creeper Reporter talking to Caitlin Clark. That was some Rob Parker shit. Yeah.
That was weird.
It's like Greg Doyle, I think his name is, right? He's a Indianapolis Star writer. He was always writing weird stuff about Michigan too, Michigan football. He's been a weirdo for a while.
You know what? I think it's the same reporter who got in a fight with Tony La Russa when he was the manager of the A's too. That famous, remember that audio I played where Tony La Russa was like, "I'm a GD manager of the Anyways, I think it's the same guy. The Red Sox traded for Vladimir Guerrero, who was the pitcher for the Marlins, I believe, too. He was a relief pitcher for the Marlins. So, the 2003 comparison, Andrew, I think would be most comparable to this White Sox team.
All right, let's take a look.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so that being said, do we have any questions this evening?
I saw one. It was from Deadly Ninja Bees. So let's see. It was it's kind of stuff we've already talked about. Maeda looks like a position player pitching out there. That's not really a question. So what's your favorite pizza topping? And if I gave you 10 at-bats against Maeda, could you get a hit? I'm 43, and I think I could rip a double.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't come close to Maeda. he would throw me one split, and I would, tear all my abdominal muscles.
Yeah.
Pizza topping? I don't know. I mean, what's wrong with
ultimate pepperoni? Ultimate pizza topping? Pepperoni or
I just typically go with pepperoni and bacon.
My favorite pizzas. Go ahead, Youper. By the way, I'm jealous of you. You went to the Flying Tomato this week.
Oh, we had the Flying Tomato from the Wigan Pen.
The Wigan Pen, by the way, one of the best. If you're ever in Iowa, do yourself a favor and get pizza there. I went there for the Michigan Iowa game. Youper recommended it to me when Youper used to be a listener of the podcast way many, many moons ago.
Yeah,
it was one of the best pizza places I've ever had. Go ahead.
I love green olives. That's my underrated topping. I love any kind of Italian sausage, pepperoni. It's great, but for me, I love that that aftertaste of the green olive. That does it for me.
A salty dog. I do like a barbecue chicken pizza. I know that's a little bit, it's not particularly one topping, but I find it tasty. I will say, and I'm looking at the 2003 Detroit Tigers through 18 games, they were 1-17.
Oh,
1-17.
Damn.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
In Iowa, besides the one Raj mentioned, the Wigan Pen, which is great, the most popular pizza is actually Casey's Pizza, which is a gas station chain.
Hmm.
They specialize in pizza as well. And they have a thing called the Chicken Bacon Ranch Pizza. It's pretty popular and pretty tasty.
Yeah, that sounds, you know, I really turn down anything on pizza. I'm not a huge onion guy on anything. So, like, I'm not going to go get a, like, give me some onion pizza or mushrooms for that matter, but I will eat just about anything on a pizza.
Yeah.
Before we get,
now, as far as hitting Maeda, I would like to think that when I was 21 and I was playing baseball two games a week and practicing another time per week and I was in shape, that I could have got a foul ball. I would like to think I could have worked a foul ball somewhere, but that's about it. I hold no illusions to hitting a major league fastball.
No, once I got to high school and I stopped playing travel ball, stopped playing travel ball my sophomore year in high school, when advanced pitching to the point where I was just essentially defensive replacement. When I realized, like, okay, well, I'm just going to be playing house league the rest of my life. Even in my prime shape, cross country shape, when I was running 60 miles a week because running for fun, couldn't do it. I mean, just it, breaking stuff I always struggled with, but like just a split finger. Are you kidding me? No way. The action on split finger is ridiculous. You can't, I just can't pick up on it. As far as pizza goes, if it's not, I don't really care as long as I'm with Chris, I don't have onions on it, but my preferred, I know it sounds sacrilegious, is grilled chicken, green peppers, and mushrooms. I don't know why it is. I just like it. I don't really, I think because I'm peppering it out, because growing up, you know, Little Caesars in the big paper bag, you know how they used to have in the box, in the cardboard thing, and then you rip up the bags and all that. And plus, going to a Catholic school, you eat so much pepperoni pizza, it's kind of like that. So,
sorry to just talk about, you brought up Little Caesars. I was watching today with my son. We were watching, and there was a weird commercial, Little Caesars. Of course, it's weird because it's Little Caesars. It was involving those pizza bite things, pizza puffs, whatever. It's supposed to be really good. I haven't had them yet.
Those are pretty good.
And I was explaining to my son that Little Caesars has been making weird commercials since I can remember. I don't remember them doing normal commercials. And so I showed him the one from way back in the day with the talking dog that the Beastie Boys sampled for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going back, that album came out in 94. So you're going back at least to the early 90s.
Yeah, remember when they were marketing those that weird thing that the plastic container you get that would extend, like look like accordion, and they made a big deal out of that. I used to get those with the pizzas. Anyway, I did not check out Weimer's comments about Osmus, so I'm assuming he's talking about Brad Osmus. Stamen wants to know, how do we get Uper to Comerica this year? We could do a GoFundMe, but we could do something like that. That'd be awesome. All you got to do is just pay for Uber to come up here. We can use, I mean, we right now our funds over at the Tiger Mountain Report are a little low. So
I did get my my shirt today. So thank you for
that. You get your shirt today. Sweet. My, yeah. All right. You should show the polo.
My Tiger.
Oh, you're next. You're next, big guy. You're getting a polo. You're getting a Motor City Metrics polo, though.
That's perfect. Look forward to it. Yeah, I've never been to Comerica. I'd love to go. I have a niece who lives in the Detroit area, just had their second baby. So I probably will find a way to get there, if not this season, next season. But I'd love to do it this season. We'll just have to see how the summer goes here. And for those who wonder, I'm a Tigers fan. I've never been to Comerica, right? I went to one game at Tiger Stadium. Living up in the UP, I was a 10.5-hour ride from Detroit. My dad used to take me to see the Tigers in Milwaukee and occasionally Minnesota. But we spent a lot of games seeing the Brewers Tigers back in the early 80s into the late 80s. So that's why I never made it to Detroit. Just one time at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, we got to change that. We got to definitely change that. We got to make a viewer outing at some point, too. So I've already met up some people of Discord, but I haven't really met, I don't think I've met too many people from our YouTube, our regular YouTube folks. So except for before we get out of here, I just got to tell the story. Last year, we're at South Bend. Chris and I were at South Bend. We got to hang out with a friend of the show, or actually more or less of the Tiger Metal Report, Charlie. And Charlie invited us down to South Bend for the weekend. Excellent, Josh. We'll have to put something together. I'll have somebody else coordinate that because I have 100 things going on right now. But so last year, we were at the game, and there was this gentleman, an older gentleman. I wish I forget, remember his name. He came up to me. He was like, "Hey, are you guys Tiger Minor Report? Are you Roger and Chris?" And we're like, "Yeah." And, you know, it was just kind of sound like, because he was very friendly. Like, I'm a big fan of your show, and I listen to all the shows and all that stuff. It was just really cool, but it's also really kind of, it's funny because I joke around about this sometimes with a couple of people that I talk to. They're like, "Oh, you're you do a podcast and, you know, you're internet famous or whatever." And it's like, no. if you're a dude in your 50s or somebody that wants to talk baseball, that I guess that's makes us famous. But it was, his energy was really weird because it's just like he was just like so excited, and I was kind of taken aback because I'm like, I don't know Chris, I mean I was just, it was just weird. Like I was like, yeah, like sitting down and talking, I love talking baseball to anybody. It was just like he was, yeah, really nervous. And I it's like the one time I met Greg Kelser, the Pistons broadcaster, and I'm like, I joined you playing at U of D, knowing full well he played at Michigan State. Or the time I met Alan Trammell, and I have all his stats. When I met Alan Trammell, I had all the stats memorized. I go to ask him a question, and I couldn't remember the AA affiliate. It's a AA Montgomery Rebels. I have a hat. I have an effing hat back there. I know what team he played for. I know who was in that starting rotation. And then I go to ask him a question, and I went, that, okay, me, I'm a, you know, 40 something year old brown dude. I have nothing to be excited for. I'm just a dude who talks baseball, and I collect Transformers on the side. That is my gig. You shouldn't get that excited as meet us. But anyway, I digress.
No, I mean that was we have the video of that, of you talking to Tram somewhere. I don't know if it's on the YouTube or not. I don't know if
it's somewhere in the archives because the audio is so bad. I don't want to.
Yeah,
it was really bad. And I mean, shout out to Emily Walden for. No, actually, no. Shout out to the Toledo intern who set that up. It was, yeah.
Yeah, that was a strange day because I was trying my damnedest to get Trammell to say anything about any of the minor leaguers, and he wouldn't. Nope. He was like, you know, I haven't seen them lately. I don't really get out of it. And then, like, I was like, I've got nothing else to talk to you about. Well, have Raj talk to you. And Raj, you know, had an enjoyable conversation with him, I think. But it was, it was a weird one. But, you know, I had the unique experience the other day of going on a job interview and having the person who was interviewing me know about the minor league site.
Wow.
Knew about Tigers Minor League Report, knew Rogelio, was like, "Hey, he does videos, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, well, he used to do like the stand-ups for Woodward, but we do our podcast and stuff." So that was interesting. Yeah,
how'd come, I don't up, know. Like, how'd that come up? Like,
he asked me about myself, and I was like, "Well, I've been, you know, a professional writer for 17 years, and then my department was eliminated, and, you know, on the side, I've been doing all this baseball stuff, and we created a minor league site, and I mentioned the name." He's like, "I know that. I follow you guys on Twitter." Wow. I'm like, "All right, then."
That's awesome. That's great.
So, yeah. But
that actually also came up weirdly this week in my day job, and actually secured a media deal that we got today that I'm pretty excited about, but that's another story for another day. So, yeah, and one day I hopefully we could get Jed over here. Tigers Jed UK. I love them. He was been talking about coming over for a while. Didn't he
come
over once?
I thought he did come
over.
He
did. I think maybe, I don't remember when he did though. If he does come back over again, I would like to take him out on the towel, man. Tigers Jed UK is one of my favorite Twitter accounts out there because he's just that English. I mean, he's just so quick on that. So we'll be back Sunday to recap the Twin series, but next week, next Thursday, I will, and also I'll be doing the minor league report on Monday, but Thursday next week, I will be in Minnesota. So these two, and more likely we'll have we're going to have a new host rotating in here too, as well. Is a buddy by the name of Mike Papchek, who I've worked with before in the past. You've worked with Mike Papchek.
I remember
Mike
Papchek from years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Papchek's going to be helping us out here. But Speed, hopefully everything's like, camera will be back at some point too. Just thoughts and prayers, not thoughts and prayers, but just good, send some good vibes to Cameron his way. He's been stealing some stuff. So I don't want to get into it because I don't speak his business, but just and, send some good vibes to Cameron, please. It's a good dude.
And I, you know, I got a very nice note from John's grandparents the other day.
Same here.
And John Kloss's friend. Yeah, they're really nice. They said they were going to keep watching the show. So we appreciate that. And we still think about John. I was thinking about somebody was complaining about the Texas announcers mispronouncing Alex Fido's name. And I was like, that's John used to do that too. Alex Fideo.
Yeah, we're still trying to find a way to like name a segment the Kloss effect or something. Like, I'm trying to think of it, but I want to be really, I don't want to just rush into something to memorize John. I want to figure out a way to do something nice and class. I mean, it would be the John Kloss Studios, but it feel weird because it's, you know, I don't know. We'll figure out something.
For sure. We haven't forgot by any means. No, of course not.
No. So. We'll never forget John Kloss. John Kloss. Yeah, that was a very nice note for his grandparents to send. And so, but yeah, hopefully the Tigers can sweep the Twins and continue their winning ways. And we'll be back on Sunday evening for the recap of the Twin Series. And then join us again Monday with Brandon Day for the week four. Holy crap, it's already week four of the minor league. Wow, shit.
It's the Cole Turney week.
Yeah, Cole Turney. Yeah.
He's bonkers. I think he's got 8 hits in the last 2 games.
Yeah, and well, look at that. Josh Cross with a grand slam, too. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But, oh, yeah, that's a good one. Steve Butts there with a good call there of Alex Lange.
Lange? Was that it? Or?
Lange, yeah.
Listen, we all have our quirks, right?
Yeah, we all have our quirks. For myself, Youper, and Chris, we'll talk this Sunday. Have a good rest, good couple days. See you then. I don't know. I always struggle with that.
Have a good one.